Welcome to episode 300 of Fly Away. Woo! We've been doing this a really long time. Here at Outlander Travel, we are passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same, and that is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. We invite you to come along with us. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website or Facebook. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and George. Maybe you've been with us from the beginning, or maybe you've joined us more recently, but we're happy you're here with us to celebrate our 300th episode. We've covered many topics through the years, but this week we thought it'd be nice to hear from you, our listeners. We've gathered some questions that we've been asked, and we're happy to answer. So join us this week to find out some of our secrets. Let's get started. I don't know that much of this is secrets, but keep listening. I mean, I'm sure it's still interesting.
We'll try to make it interesting.
So let's start with like a really easy one. What is your favorite international destination? And to make this easy, I'm going to call on you so that we're not talking over each other. Not that we ever do that, but so who wants to go first? Raise your hands. Our viewers can't see. Okay, Lindsay, what is your favorite international destination?
South Pacific, French Polynesia.
Oh, that sounds so lovely. So lovely.
Give me a beautiful island and I am a happy, happy girl. Give me a cruise ship that's small enough to go to multiple islands every day and I'm much happier.
Donna, what is yours?
Rome.
Rome, not Italy, just Rome.
Just Rome. Nice. Well, because from Rome, you can go to Florence. You can go down to Naples. It's real simple. You get on the train and it's very fast. They have really fast trains. But Rome, the food is excellent. I'm an art history person. So, you know, seeing all that great architecture and all great art, there's no other place that compares.
George?
So most of mine has been limited to cruises. So I'm kind of only stuck with the Caribbean, so I would say probably St. Thomas.
Although technically that's not international.
Technically it's not.
Yeah, so try right again.
Wow, tough room. Okay, then I guess I'm going to have to go with the Dominican Republic.
That's international. Yeah. St. Thomas can still be your favorite island. Sandy,
true.
What is yours?
Yep.
So I'm like George, I haven't done a lot of international besides the Caribbean and Mexico, although I did go to London, but I would say if I had to choose my favorite out of those, it would probably be Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I think the island has a lot to offer.
Oh, definitely.
They're so nice. It's so beautiful. It's kind of got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You got like, you know, the Blue Hole, which is amazing. You got the gorgeous sunsets in the grill. Yeah. Definitely something for everyone.
So mine is Greece and specifically Santorini, but the catch is I haven't been in a very long time. So I kind of have to wonder if some of that is memory. Like I remember it in a way that makes it my favorite, but I haven't yet. I mean, I definitely have places that I've been to more often that I would go to again and again, but so far that's been, I think it's just the most beautiful and I connect with it, I think more than anywhere else.
It's weird. If we had talked about this, like when everyone was still traveling and we had to stop for a long period of time, my answer might've been something like exploring somewhere in Europe, but I really just want to go to a beach. Do you think your answer would change?
Well, no, not for me, since I'm actually going way back to a trip that I took in my 20s. Really, the last time I was in Greece, I was 26. That was a long time ago. So.
Yeah. And I was in Rome 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't think mine would change. And I had to really think about it because there are, like, London, I always say, is one of my very favorite cities in the whole wide world. But is it truly my favorite international destination? I don't know. I think it's still Greece. But maybe if I go back there, I'll be like, I wonder what I like so much.
You know what? We'll just have to go.
No, I'll have to test the theory for sure. For sure. So along that line, let's talk about what is your favorite land vacation? And this would be like the favorite trip that you took. Where was it and how did you do it? You know, were you with a group or with you, you know, that sort of thing. So who wants to go first? Oh, everybody's thinking. Okay, Sandy?
I'll go first. So I think the favorite one I've taken that, so I guess I would have two categories. I'd have like the things I've done as a travel agent to experience things to recommend to clients. And then I would have like the things I've done with my family. So which do you want?
We have a question later about family. So I would say,
okay.
Yeah, I would say
that. Yeah. So the one that I've done that I wish I could, I mean, I would like to take my family eventually on this trip was when we did Fairbanks in March, because I would never have thought I wanted to go to Alaska, not in the summer. Fairbanks isn't really, March isn't really winter. It's kind of the mid solstice time, but we did so many cool things. It was such an amazing trip. We saw the Northern Lights. We saw the ice carving championships, the World Ice Carving Championships. We did snowmobiling on a frozen lake, frozen river, ice fishing, just so many cool things. That was such an awesome trip that my kids would love all of it. So that's one that I would like to do again.
That was such a surprising, it was a welcome surprise too, because I knew it was going to have fun. We always have fun, and it's Alaska. How could you not love it? But to enjoy everything we did, that was so out of my box.
Yeah.
What I would normally do.
And you didn't think you were going to die during any of it.
I know. It was amazing.
Sandy had no control over any of the events. So it was all pre-planned. So Lindsay, what is yours?
So I have to say, and it sounds cheesy to say this, but it's probably my 40-day trip, because I saw so much, because I went from Iceland to Ireland to Scotland to England to France to Disney on both coasts of the U.S. on either end, and all in one big trip. And that was really, it was very hectic and crazy, but I think as far as a land trip goes, I probably got the most out of that. Out of that experience. Now I want to go back everywhere. I want to go back everything. But
this one was hard for me, because I think that my land vacations tend to be my favorites, and I love cruising, don't get me wrong, but my land vacations tend to be what I really love, and I've taken some amazing ones. I think I kind of have to say Africa, which I did last year, just because it was so different. But it's tough, because I have taken some amazing land trips in Europe, in Central America, in North America, Alaska, Hawaii, you know, I've been so many places. And my trip to Hong Kong and China that I went to see my sister when she was living there. So it's kind of a tough call, but I think Africa, just because I saw things there that I don't think I could see anywhere else. And although in China, you know, I did see the Great Wall and there was some uniqueness, it still had some familiar landscapes and things like that. Whereas Africa was just, you know, so different. So amazingly different. And it was my first time south.
Did you see a Starbucks when you were in Africa?
No, I don't. Maybe in Cape Town I did. Maybe. I saw Krispy Kreme in Cape Town and people were lined up out the door for it. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but we were, you know, we were in Cape Town. We were right there at the waterfront, which is basically a big shopping mall. So I bet there was a Starbucks there. I just didn't pay attention.
I bet there was.
So yeah, I do tend to overlook them. You see them so often that you just don't see them anymore, you know. George, what about you? What's your favorite?
Mine was easy. It was the Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic Southern California. We like that so much. I keep looking at the itinerary, hoping they change a couple of things so I can do it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you talk that up so well, too. I've booked somebody on it for next year, and it was just so much fun to book her on it, because I was like, I haven't done this, but I've heard how fantastic it is. So, yeah, it's great. Donna, what about you?
Well, it was tough because I've been some really cool places, but the one that really sticks with me is going to Alaska. I went on a Girl Scout trip and this was, you know, the year I graduated from high school. So, of course, it was like 10 years ago, you know, because everybody knows I'm 30 again. But it was the one thing that, you know, I can say took my breath away. I mean, looking at the mountains in Juneau, and then we spent another week and a half in Sitka, and it was just absolutely amazing. And I get to take my family there next summer, so I'm really looking forward to that.
About that. Okay, so we're going to go through like a little series of questions that are very closely related. And I'll just go ahead, and I think the easiest way to do this is we'll ask all three questions and have you answer all three sort of together, because that makes the most sense to do. So we're going to do, what is your favorite place to visit with your family? It could be someplace that you go over and over again, or someplace that was just so fantastic with your family. Then your favorite place to visit with your friends. And that can include your spouse, but, you know, generally people your age all together. And then your favorite place to vacation solo. Who wants to go first? Everybody's volunteering. Lindsay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do Lindsay because I know she can cover all three.
Okay. So I'm going to cheat a little bit on the favorite place to visit with my family, because the favorite place I've ever gone with my husband was Aruba, and I really don't want to go back there. Not anytime soon, because I've been spoiled by Tahiti and the South Pacific and all these other amazing beaches and Turks and Caicos and all these places. But we are about to leave for Jamaica, and he's never been. And I have a feeling our favorite place to go is going to be all-inclusive resort. Anywhere with a beautiful beach is going to be. And then to visit with my friends, I don't know, Sandy and I have had such a great time, not just with you, but with all the girls that I've been to Alaska with. I really think it's such a great, it's a great girls trip destination. If it's not on anybody's radar, it's such a low key, it can be whatever you want to make of it type of adventure. And that's probably what I would pick for the best place to go with friends. And then from on my own, it's Disney. Cause I never feel alone. I don't know if it's because I have so many friends down there now, but I there's something about walking down the middle of Main Street, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe being a little bit voyeuristic and watching, like, they seeing the kids' faces light up when they see the castle for the first time. And it's one of those places where you can be alone and people watch and it's not weird and you don't feel lonely.
What? It's not creepy?
Yeah, it's not creepy. Was that creepy middle-aged woman without any kids crying at the fireworks?
It's only creepy if you make it creepy. So, Donna, do you want to go next?
Sure. With my family, it was really cool to go through Germany and Austria. And they just, I mean, they absolutely, and they still talk about that trip after, I mean, it was 2 years ago that we went, and they just keep talking about it. And it's so neat to actually watch something on television, and they're like, oh, I've been there. I know where that is. So I love that I get to offer that to my children. With friends, I'd have to say, Lindsay, it was our trip to Bali.
Yeah.
That was so much fun, and it's such an interesting culture, and because we were there about 10 days, we really got to experience life in Bali, and everybody is so welcoming and so nice and so concerned with your happiness. I think it's part of the culture, but I also think it's part of their religion there as well. And then by myself, I'd have to say going to the French Alps. I got to go skiing at Club Med, and that was just, it was an amazing experience. It's absolutely gorgeous there, and I would highly recommend it if you're a skier. Definitely check out the French Alps.
Interesting. Skiing would be a good solo trip, because when you're skiing, you're not really talking to anybody anyway. You're there to enjoy the sensation and the beauty and the, so then you can always meet people in the bar later. So yeah, that does sound
like, oh yes, really, you can definitely do,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. I never thought about it that way, but yeah, that's absolutely, totally makes sense.
And that's actually one of the, I mean, most ski places are not all inclusive, but Club Med is. So it includes all your food, it includes all your alcohol and everything, and your lessons and guides and all that. So it's a great experience for somebody who wants to go skiing.
I keep changing my answers while you guys answer. I'm going to call on Sandy next, just so I can get out of the way. because we all know it's coming. So if your family.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
I think you're going to say Pittsburgh.
They all live there. So I would have to say Yosemite because, you know, we all rented these like cabin things and we, you know, got to hang out and hike together and go see all the sites and just had some really good camping. Gives you that good family time and that good outdoorsy thing. And I think that would be true of any national park kind of vacation, actually. But those are some of the best memories I have. And I always worked really hard, especially when my kids were really young, to make sure they knew all their little cousins because we're so spread out. So those are the memories that I really love, that, you know, where we all could come together and people from both coasts were there. So I would say Yosemite. Close runner-up would be the Outer Banks when we did that trip. That was awesome, too. But place to visit with my friends. This is kind of opposite of what Lindsay did on her own, but I think Epcot is one of the funnest places to be with a bunch of friends. So yeah, that one for me, because I've done like so many races at Disney and so many trips where that are adult only, even though you might not think that. Well, we all would think that, but some people might not think that as top of mind as a trip to be with friends, but it's so much fun. And then on my own, this is probably just because of the nature of the industry I'm in, but cruising, you know, I'm not totally on my own because I'm usually with friends or whatever, but that's kind of like, sometimes I'm not with someone I really know, we get kind of thrown in, but I love that on a cruise ship, you can always kind of find a place, like a nook to sit down and read your book, you know, or that bar that's out of the way where you can just kind of chill out and it's kind of quiet and you can kind of get away from the crowd. So I think cruising really gives you that opportunity. So I would say that.
This was really hard to pick. Like, give me 5 minutes and I would have picked something else for
that
too.
I know. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. George, what about you?
Well, I mean, and drinking around the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing.
I mean, who doesn't love that?
George?
So, for family, I'd have to say Disney.
I was hoping somebody would, because you would think we should have all said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Disney's a good one for family. I think you tend to be a little closer, or maybe not, but to your family than you are with your friends. So, Disney fits with that. Friends for me would be a cruise. Everybody can kind of do their own thing during the day, and you meet up for dinner at night in a show, and you know, if you want to do things as a group, you can, but there's always plenty of stuff to do if you just want to go off by yourself or as a couple. Vacation on your own. I have never been on a vacation by myself or other than a business trip. So I guess if I was to take one, it would probably be something photography related. So Yosemite, Yellowstone, I don't know, something like that, I guess.
In Alaska.
That would be interesting.
Oh, Alaska. You would love
Alaska, could.
Well, he's been.
Yeah.
So
Alaska was good. Yeah. I think it's just harder to maybe to get around.
Yeah.
But
so it's something
yeah, that would be cool too.
90% of my trips by myself. I liked Alaska a lot.
If you have a good travel agent, you could get around, so.
Yeah, I might be able to find one.
I know a couple. I'll send them your way. So for me, the family one is really hard because I've thought through all of my family trips, and I loved every single one of them. I think my favorite way to travel is with my family, and I am genuinely sad that my kids are getting older, and you know, and I'm really glad that I got to travel with them at different ages because you really only get that chance once. And so we've been to Disney several times as a family at different ages. And some trips were better than others for sure, but they were all excellent. But I think for me, it was the trips that we've taken to Europe, which I know is a big place, but we've only gone to two places as a family in Europe. We went to Ireland and we went to France, to Paris. And both of those... The Ireland one, I guess, is cheating a little bit because we had friends with us. So it was more like a group trip. It was a group trip. But Paris was definitely just us. And the experience of seeing your kids interact in a different country with that country and seeing them sort of see firsthand how things are different and how things are the same. It's just really extraordinary. And I do think it brought us closer together because, you know, in France, especially, we didn't speak the language. So we really just had each other. We were sort of really relying on each other in a way that you don't have to every day at home. So I feel like that trip really brought us together. We also, when we went to Costa Rica, had a similar experience. Again, that was a group trip. It wasn't a group of people we knew, but we were with the group. But that was definitely one of our favorite trips. But I'm going to say Europe. Definitely international, definitely not a cruise with my family, because when we cruise as a family, we all go do different things. So we might as well be there on our own. Favorite place to visit with friends for me is Walt Disney World, but I would follow that up with the cruise. And I think, you know, I love it with my kids too, but every time I travel with my friends, that's where we end up going. It's like, where do you want to go to celebrate a birthday? Where do you want to go to, you know, and we end up at Walt Disney World. So it's got to be my favorite place. It must be. And like Lindsay, I have a lot of friends who either live around there or go often enough that I run into them. I have friends who live in North Carolina who I've seen more at Disney World than in North Carolina. And we've only planned it once to actually meet up. Every other time, it's just been coincidence that we've been there at the same time.
I think that's what the draw for me for saying for a solo trip, because mm-hmm. I'm never really alone mm-hmm. anyway. Whereas if you go to Europe alone, you're alone.
Mm-hmm. So for me,
the whole time.
So for me, a solo trip would be any big city. So I think that, you know, I could go to New York City and have a great time by myself. I go to the theater, I go to restaurants by myself, and I would not mind it at all. Go shopping. And because it's a big city, there's so much to do. I could do exactly what I want to do. So do I want to go sit in the park for a while? Yeah. Do I want to go shopping for a while? Yeah. But when we do that as a family or with friends, there's usually somebody pulling you one direction or another. And I'd say any big city, San Francisco, New York, London, Paris, Munich, starting to sound like a song, Rome, any of the, because it's a big city, there's always somewhere where you can meet up with people. And I would probably do it in a way where I would have a few little tours, like food tours or something scheduled so that I could meet other people while I'm there. But then the rest of the time is my own. So that's my answer, which is again, kind of general, but any big city, I think I could do that with pretty much. Except maybe like LA, because it's too big.
But, it's very spread out.
Yeah, too spread out. So, okay, so we apparently have a listener who really wants to put us on the spot. So the question is, what is your favorite cruise line? We're just going to have a disclaimer right now that we like all the cruise lines for different reasons. But for you to sail personally on, what is your favorite? Donna, I'll let you go first.
I like Royal.
You want to say a little bit why?
I really like their food offerings. I've never really been disappointed in anything. The embarkation process is very organized. And I don't feel like I'm waiting in a bunch of lines. So I that really appeals to me. And just getting around on the ship, it to me, it just makes sense. And I don't know how else to describe it. It makes sense that it's laid out properly.
It's good feng shui for you, is what you're saying.
Yes.
George?
So I've only been on Royal Caribbean and Carnival, so I don't have a lot to choose from. But of the two, we enjoy Royal Caribbean mainly because as I've cruised, I found that I'm a big ship cruiser. And every time we've gone up in class, we've liked it better. So unfortunately, Carnival has kind of stuck with a smaller ship other than the new Mardi Gras. So, after being on Harmony 2 years ago, we like the big one. So I stick with Royal.
You don't like the Harmony just because that's where you hung out with us.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes
sense. That may have something, some sentimental.
I'm sure that helped.
At least for the purposes of this podcast recording, it helped.
Correct.
Lindsay, what about you?
So I have to say, I really love the smaller midship feel. It's my love that started with the Adonia and Fathom, which is not here anymore. So, but they are owned by Azamara. And although I haven't sailed with Azamara, they really appeal to me. And I feel like I kind of know love to think that would be a good choice. But Paul Gauguin, hands down, of all the ships I've been on, that is the perfect size, the perfect itinerary, the perfect food, the perfect everything. That was exactly spot on. If I had profiled myself as a client, I would have matched myself correctly. Mm-hmm.
That one. Definitely. Sandy?
So I would probably say, even though I love the contemporary cruise lines, Royal and Norwegian, my favorite was Holland America in Alaska. And it was because so much was finely tuned to the destination. And it was a smaller ship. And I wasn't expecting to love it because I thought I was probably too young for their demographic, but it was awesome. I loved it. I loved the shows. I loved the cultural enrichment stuff they did. I loved the layout of the ship. I loved the size of it. Yeah, that was a great one. So yeah, surprise.
Holland is one line that I have not sailed. I've sailed a lot of different lines, including some that don't exist anymore. And Holland is one. I was supposed to have sailed it in April, but sadly that did not happen. So I have to reserve my judgment on that one. But
it's hard because I can't recommend it. You know, like if it's not that they didn't have things that I think kids would enjoy, but it would take like a certain kind of family with small kids, yeah, like a well-traveled family with small kids,
experienced and very independent children. Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't have like the rock climbing walls and flow riders and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a niche kind of thing. But to me, I think that was my favorite.
I remember us getting on there and joking about we're going to be, little blue haired. And then by the end of the cruise, we were like, this is amazing.
We're like we're going to go to tea.
BB King's Blues Club was rocking after 12 o'clock at night. It's not your grandma's ship.
No. Yeah.
And the thermal spa was awesome too.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a small ship person. My first cruise was a small ship, but I haven't had a chance to do very many small ships. And most of the lines that I mentioned that I've experienced before that are no longer exist were small ships, but they no longer exist. The ships are retired or they may be owned by somebody else. I should look up a couple of them, but one of them caught fire. So I know it isn't around anymore, but not while I was on it. Lindsay and I are going to sail Crystal very soon and maybe Donna as well. And that may become my favorite ship because it is a smaller ship, but I haven't done it yet. So I can't count it. I would say Disney for me. And I love Royal too. And I really do. But Disney is something super special. And it's the ship I honeymooned on. I've been on all four of their ships. So I really feel like I know the line. And I have never been disappointed with a Disney cruise. Like I've never been really disappointed with any cruise, but some cruises I'm like, that was okay. You know, where Disney just always blows me away in one way or another, whether it's a particular show or a meal or a character interaction or a storytelling activity, like on the Halloween, on the high seas, anything like that. Like something ends up blowing me away. So, so for me so far it's Disney. So yeah.
That Beauty and the Beast show was like
amazing.
Take your breath away.
Amazing.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So amazing. And again, all through the years, you know, the first time I sailed with them was 1999 and it's just consistently high. We did the Star Wars Day at Sea and, you know, to be able to walk on deck with a bunch of stormtroopers walking around. And I mean, it's just really cool. Classy at the same time. So it's got a little bit of that small ship feel, like that old school cruising feel that I like from small ships, but geared toward families and geared toward today's audience. And the newer ships have some great technology. I can't wait till the brand new ships come out. It's not one that I can do all the time. It's pricey. But it's definitely always a winner for sure. So, okay. So what is, and we don't have time to tell all of our stories. So Lindsay, what is the strangest thing you've ever been asked to do for a client? Keep it clean.
Okay. There are so many choices because I have so many wonderful, eclectic clients who know that they can call on me for anything. So one night I got a 911 text and it actually said 911. I need your help. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, something happened. Oh, I hope the kids are okay. I hope they're fine. I wonder what happened. I was requested to find a place that sold chewing tobacco on Walt Disney World property. Or near
Walt Disney World property. Because I don't think they sell it on Walt Disney World property, correct?
Yeah. No, but there is one gas station that I did find out from asking a security guard. Like, I really had to go deep inside the research above and beyond for this. But yeah. That's probably the most unusual. I've had people ask before, like, what's the brand of sugar or salt that they have on the cruise ship? Or what's the this or something that there's no way that you would be able to find out. You could talk to everybody at the cruise line. And
that just speaks to the way that Disney is so good at keeping you in their bubble. Like, once you arrive on property, you know, it's like you're there. You're mm-hmm. stuck.
I've only been texted once from Disney from something that wasn't actually an emergency. And that was, should I take this bus? You know, should I wait for a bus? I've been here for 7 minutes. I was like, where are you going? I don't even know. Like, there was no context at all. I mean, what park are you at? Where are you going? And she's like, I've been here for 7 minutes. Should I just grab a taxi? I'm like, where are you going? Where are you? So, yeah, that was an interesting one. But that was more, I think she was just hot and tired and wasn't thinking. It wasn't that strange. It was just sort of a, yeah, I don't
know. Those of us who've waited like 2 hours for a bus were like 7 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just hang out. You're good.
Fun to see.
You're good. Yeah. Okay. So the final question, and anybody can answer this if you can. When do you think travel will be, air quotes, normal again?
I think it's when people will feel safe.
Any idea?
I think it's when we have a vaccine. So next year.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we have to have the vaccine and people have to have had time to have taken it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think people, I think there are ways to safely travel this year, but I think it's domestic. I think it looks different than what we've done in the past. It's just different, you know, it's just adjusting your expectations. Even people I know who are still going to Disney this year, you know, there's a lot of things you have to be ready to accept that it's not your normal trip. You know, it's not the character meals and fireworks trip at all. It's the you're wearing masks and no extra magic hours and stuff like that. So I guess that it kind of depends on your comfort level and how it can be safe. And there's a lot to look at.
I miss travel a lot, but so I think that there will be the brave travelers like myself who are still scared but brave enough to try it and find joy in what isn't normal about travel right now. So, you know, talking about Disney World, as a frequent visitor to Disney World, I'm kind of looking forward to going. You know, I'm seeing the pictures of the park with no people in them. You know, mm-hmm. a friend of mine posted a picture of her standing in front of the castle today. Complete, no other person was in the picture. It was as if the park was closed and it was midday.
Yeah.
The little pop-up parades they're doing, you know, there's just so much going on that's different that it seems like it'll be an interesting thing to do. Do I want it to be like that all the time? No, I'd love to see some of the old stuff come back. But do I want the experience with no crowds? Cruise ships, too. You know, they're saying when they start sailing, they'll be at, we had Danny on the other night, that we'll be at 50% capacity or lower, no buffets, you know, sign me up. I don't have to fight for it. Yeah. I don't have to fight for a deck chair.
Quarter of the people, mm-hmm. and not even half the people, a quarter of mm-hmm. the people. We're about to head in a week. We're going to be in Jamaica experiencing some all-inclusive resorts. And I am so looking forward to, these resorts aren't normally full to capacity anyway. They always leave extra space, but to get it at a quarter full, mm-hmm. that's, mm-hmm. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. I've been home too long.
Yeah.
You sound like SpongeBob. I'm ready. I'm ready.
If you're safe, and you feel confident, you feel safe, and we're going to take all our precautions. We're, you know, getting our COVID tests beforehand and making sure that we follow all the regulations and that we keep ourselves safe and everyone else safe. And when I come back, I'm going to quarantine myself and just to be safe. But I think for those of us who our heart really is, you know, belongs in different corners of the world, we're gonna be pushed to venture out. I made a reservation, Elizabeth. I was hemming and hawing about Walt Disney World for September, and I did.
Oh, Art, when are you going?
I am going September 24th to 30th.
That's right after I leave. Dang it. I leave on the 22nd. What? Yeah. I'm there that weekend, that long weekend. I mean, it's not a long weekend. We're making it a long weekend. And I think that's also a good point is the quarantine thing. You know, most of us are in a position where, I mean, quarantine is what I do. I'm by myself all the time, every day, like, or with my family. I do go out sometimes, but I only have like four friends. So, you know, I see them every once in a while. And then, so it's worth it to me to travel and come back in quarantine. And I mean, honestly, we're about to drive up to see my sister in New York, and I live in a state that New York doesn't want to come visit unless we quarantine. So I'm literally driving 8 hours to go sit in her house for a week and then come back. It's a very nice house and we'll have a great time, but I miss her and I'll be looking at a different four walls, you know, and I'm really excited about that. So, you know, she lives on a beautiful piece of property that, you know, we can walk around on her property. And so, I'm super excited about that.
And there's a way to do it and be responsible, and you don't have to be out in the masses, you know, endangering yourself and others. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to do it so that you feel safe and comfortable. And whenever you reach that comfort level, that's when you'll travel, mm-hmm. when you feel safe, mm-hmm. when you feel like, okay, I can do this. And I have a friend of mine brought up a really good point. He's a flight attendant, and he said that, we've been quarantined for so long. It's not just COVID we have to worry about at this point, because like any little thing, he's like, you need to go outside and lick a lamppost or something. Yeah. Because the first piece of dust that blows my way or something.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true. I think as long as we don't want to say we're going to say new normal to say that we're not going to say new normal, but
I don't want to say,
but that. I do think that normal can be a matter of perspective. And I think that for some people, they'll be able to travel more places earlier than other people just for comfort level. But yeah, I think a vaccine is where, you know, there's no more masks needed and, you know, all that good stuff.
For some people, proven vaccine. So
mm-hmm. yes.
Might be farther down the road.
Yep. But we still love it. Still remain hopeful. Maybe we're silly for that, but yeah. Never thought 300 episodes ago that we'd be shut down from doing what we love right now, but
yeah, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many days has it been? I mean, I haven't been anywhere since September. This is the longest in over a decade, easily over a decade, that I have been home.
So the last time I traveled was late February. I went to Tampa for a conference, a short conference. It was like a 3-day trip.
Mine was mid-February.
Yeah. George, when was yours?
November, when I went to Cancun.
Sandy?
Mine was, like a big trip was London, which was New Year's Eve, but I have been to my parents' house, which is not really, I mean, it's travel because it's 3.5 hours away, but it was to help them do stuff at their house.
That's not vacation.
It wasn't vacation. Well, mine wasn't vacation either. It was work, but it was travel. I mean, I got in a plane and stuff, so...
Well, I mean, I have been down to South Carolina twice to see my in-laws.
So. Yeah, I haven't.
I am so excited to fly again. I don't know why I miss the airports. This is such a crazy, I sound crazy saying it out loud. I miss every stinking thing, from the bad food to the overpriced water to the long TSA line where everyone's shifting like...
Well, my son misses the smell of an airport. He's like, I love the smell of airports. And I'm like,
There was a country in Southeast Asia. I can't remember which country it was, but they were giving you the airport experience without actually going anywhere.
Yeah, you were like, flight. You got to get in the plane, but you weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, Taiwan.
It was Singapore where you could do the... I don't know. I'm going to be the airport Disney princess. Ladies and George, I'm going to be skipping down the aisle, singing, asking everyone if they're having a great day. I hope the pilot talks to us.
If you are missing airports, definitely follow on Facebook and probably on Twitter and Instagram, the MCO Airport, the Orlando Airport. They are hilarious. Hilarious. They posted a picture of their carpet. So, you know, in case you're missing the carpet patterns that we have, because they have those really ugly carpets. They have that very famous statue, the very realistic statue of the guy sleeping. And they put a mask on him. Hilarious. And it's just random. It comes up in my feed. I'm like, oh my God, that's hilarious. They did a video of the sliding doors opening and closing, just in case you're missing the airport. It's darling. It's wonderful. And I have enjoyed every single one. I'm like, follow. I've shared like at least two of them. So yeah, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our show for this week. 300 episodes in the can. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.